Hi friends, welcome to the Mama.Wife Life Podcast. I'm your hostess Brittany, and each week we'll be gabbing, bragging, and unpacking about life. So grab yourself a drink, get yourself comfortable, and get ready to be inspired.
Okay, so we're recording?
Yes.
Right now?
Right now.
Oh my god.
Oh no.
Well, welcome.
I can hear myself this time.
Oh, I know.
Is that your voice
in my head? It's my voice. I'm in your head. Oh my goodness, I don't even want to talk about how many takes this is. We're just not
getting we've it. Had to iron out a couple
a
of
few
things.
A few problems. So welcome back everybody. So I have been kind of dropping hints that I am gonna have a co-host, and this is the co-host.
Hi, I am now a co-host.
Yeah, and his name is Arthur.
Hello.
And he is a very good friend of mine. And he has so many different levels of friendship with me, truly.
Yes.
Right? Like, yep. We can go on to, oh, right, well, I know you because you used to body paint me.
That's right.
You were my support when I was in labor and having a baby, which is like a whole other thing of conversation that we will touch
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it definitely goes into
like it's
like a range of different things.
Literally, like balls deep.
Yeah. Yep.
Seriously, like, why don't we let people get to know who you are?
Okay.
So,
well, I mean,
tell us about yourself.
You're from Australia.
I'm from Australia, and I came to Canada. Mm-hmm. I originally came to visit a friend, and in that trip, I met a girl.
And where'd you meet her?
My friend's martial arts class.
Oh, were you taking martial arts?
I was.
Oh, but did she beat you up?
We used, yeah, it was solid swords and sticks and all sorts of things.
Just like spanks you. You're like, ooh, I like
well,
you.
Well, then I don't know if there's any spanking techniques. The Japanese might have some of that, but no, I mean, you know, we were just studying martial arts, and you know, it was a thing. We just, you know, we got on. We knew we were going to have a.
It was like Cupid.
Good, we were going to have a good time.
You love at first sight.
I'm a bit more older than just love at first sight, I think.
But you know what I mean.
But, like, you know, it was something I hadn't encountered. Let's put it that way. You know, it was like, oh, yeah, I'm traveling around. I wasn't intending to stay in Canada.
No.
I was moving on. But, you know, you just never know who you meet.
I know. And then you met her, and then you're stuck with me now.
Hey, everything that comes with it.
Right? You're just...
Everything that comes with it. But we have fun. Like, you know, there's all sorts of cool shit that we've done.
I know. Well, so you met your partner, Tanya, and then you were going to go. You had a short amount of time that you were going to be here, and then you were going to take off.
That's it. I headed off, actually, to London to see my sister there.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, the border people did not want me there.
They were just like, it's a no from us?
It's a no. There were, and I can sort of understand it. There was a lot of Australians that were going there and staying there illegal, so they're probably watching out for things like that. And so I came back, and you know, everybody had thought that I had left. They hadn't heard from me for a couple of days.
They were like, that's it, he's gone. And so you go there, and they're like, how is this dude gonna make money now? When you were telling the story, I just wanted, like, what were you like, were you wearing the like bandana and like full of tats? And they were like, what is this dude actually doing here?
It's funny, I will say I wore a pair of sneakers, pair of jeans, and a t-shirt, but a pair of sneakers and a pair of jeans and a t-shirt isn't just wearing a pair of sneakers, a pair of jeans, and a pair of t-shirts anymore. And I just didn't think, like, you know, like when I was staying in Los Angeles for a little while.
Yeah.
And I thought, not knowing everything, but knowing some things, I thought, you know what, I'm going to LA, I'm not going to wear any t-shirts, white t-shirts.
Uh-huh.
Because gangbangs used to wear, all the gangbangers used to wear white t-shirts. It's just a thing. So I thought, that's it. So I'm just going to separate myself from that whole
lifestyle
thing, whole thing, and I'm going to wear a black t-shirt just to be safe. And so I get to the neighborhood where I was staying, and the local gang there wore black t-shirts.
Of course they did.
So I'm just like kicking
you're
myself.
You're like, God damn it.
How the hell did I do this to myself?
You're like, God damn it.
I just walked straight into it, you know? But
yeah.
So And so when I went over to, like, I did, you know, I've got tattoos there on my forearms. I was t-shirts. I was shaved head because it was easy. And black t-shirts are easy when you're traveling.
Yes.
You spill shit on them, they're black. Give a shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, so I came back to Canada because they didn't let me in. And, you know, sort of from there, a life started. I mean, you know.
Well, you called Tanya from the airport. I called her
from the airport because I was using the internet, and the only people that I tried, it was back in, when it was 2008, and I sent off the internet to all the people, said, oh, well, I've been stopped at the border, sent it to my sister, sent it to my friend in Canada, they're sending me back, but they didn't get it. I got there before the email got there.
This should give you how shitty the internet was. It was like snail mail.
It was like, you know, and so, I got to North Carolina. I think North Carolina. Or did I get to Toronto? I can't remember now. I think it was North Carolina.
North Carolina, I think is what you said.
I said that, yeah. And I'm coming back to Toronto. And, you know, what do you pick me up?
Can you pick me up, please? Can you
pick me up, please?
And it was in, like, middle of the night, right? You called her and you were just like, And, of course, her being the loving human that she is, she's like, I will come pick you up.
She came pick me up. I think she dropped me off at a friend's place in Toronto and I stayed there for about a month.
Yeah.
And then eventually I moved to where she was, which was in Erin in Ontario.
Yeah.
And from that point on, I immigrated. I went through all the process. I wasn't allowed to work for a little while. It was a bit weird.
Yeah.
And I was a nothing. I wasn't anybody. It was sort you weren't of in doing flux.
Now, when did you have Rose?
Rose was 2014.
Okay. It's funny because I've known you guys forever. And yeah. I had no idea that you guys met as she was going through her separation.
Yes.
Like, I didn't, yep. And I didn't know that you guys bought this house.
Like, I didn't actually buy, she bought
no, this. But, like, I didn't know that that timeline was overlapped. Like, I had no idea. Yeah. It's probably because I just never, like, asked questions.
You
just
don't
ask,
yeah. Right? You sort of meet somebody and you don't, well, what's your inside
can
life
I,
like?
Can I have all the information, please? All of it? I need to know all the things. Thank you. Which is unusual. I'm pretty nosy.
So I think from when I had, when I came back and Tanya was trying to figure out an income, mm-hmm. and she was like, she was a stay-at-home mum and, you know, her ex was working and all that. And so she started face painting.
Yeah. And, but you aren't.
I wasn't doing that. I was, you know.
Graffiti.
At the moment I was sort of jewelry. Okay. I was doing my jewelry, but I was also, I mean, I was doing graffiti when I was a kid. And, you know, somehow that sort of came back up into it. But we started the body painting and it's like, it was a legitimate business for her. You know, she was able to do it. You know, bought a house and paid a house as a face painter.
Yeah, which body, you don't hear about that. A body artist.
She wasn't just a face painter, but and you know, so she started that, and I started doing that. You know, mm-hmm. I was assisting her. I had nothing else to bloody well do. Yeah.
And then that's where I came in.
That's it. That's where I was leading up to.
And then that's where I came into your guys' lives. It was a conversation with a other photographer that you guys needed a body.
With Tassitano. Was it him?
I cannot remember. I feel like maybe Loft Photography.
Okay.
But I'm not sure because I only worked with a few photographers in town because at that point I was living in Cambridge.
Right.
Right? And we have one, yeah, because I'm thinking that I was in Cambridge and then that's when we did the Honduras thing.
That's right.
Right? And we won first place.
That's right.
Right? And then we did the Haunted, what was it called? The Haunted one with Sean Avram?
Yep.
The Haunted Honduras?
Hamilton Haunted? Something.
I don't know, but you guys called me. It was like 9:30 in the morning. Yeah. I was like probably hungover, I think. And I had to come and be a body paint.
Be a body paint.
Yeah.
And dehydrated.
Yeah, I was just like, oh my God, I was in such a hot mess. And so they painted me.
Yep.
And then that night I had to go pick up my husband. Well, at that point he was just my boyfriend in Toronto. And so I got all painted and I had to drive down there and I had a G-string on, paint in a snowstorm in my SUV, and that was it.
Were you with Tom when you did Sabstock?
No.
No, that was before Tom.
Yeah, that was right before him. Yeah, that was with my ex. Yeah. Yeah, he and I don't know if we were like together at that point, but yeah, it was the overlapping. And then when I moved to Guelph, that's kind of where my life kind of took like a big change.
Yep.
So And then we didn't really do much work because you guys got really busy with your body painting business. Like, you guys got super busy.
No, you were doing Pride with us, though.
Yeah, Pride.
You did Pride with us. That was good. Pride was always exciting.
Yeah, that was great. Just prancing around downtown Toronto in a G-string and body paint, taking pictures with, like, the police and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's what Pride does. Yeah. All the gay policemen come out.
Yeah, they love it. They love it. It's, like, their fave. And then I got pregnant with Mason.
That's right.
And I was like, I'm going to have a home birth. And I'm going to have doulas. And Tanya is a trained
doula. And Tanya is a
doula.
So she's a face painter and a doula.
Yeah. And so I was like, yes, I want her. And then you came along. And at this point, me and Tanya, I think, we were more closer in friendship than me and you were, because you were still very shy. Now you're not so shy, but it was like you were very, like, timid. Like, you were very quiet.
I just kept in the back. I think, I mean, there was a bunch of things. Like, I came off anti-seizures medication when I was out here. And that was a trip.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, anything, whatever Tanya sort of did, I kind of followed along. Because, you know, I mean, I don't know my way around Canada.
Yeah.
I don't know my way around Ontario. She was, you know.
Your lifeline.
Lifeline, I mean, you know. I was just doing the support thing, you know, and making it work. And so what she did was, you know, look at my skills and made those work, which is where the graffiti and stuff came in.
Yeah. So I was in labor and you ended up being the person that I wanted.
Yep.
And she took my husband and was like giving him chores. It's so funny because when I tell the story and I'm like, yeah, I had like two doulas, like a husband and wife, and everyone's like, what? You had a male support? Mm. I was like, yeah. Yeah, because my husband was having, like, meltdowns through the whole thing.
Like, I mean, I was only capable of, like, Tanya was the skilled one. I was only capable of doing so much. But, you know, I mean, we have a friendship, and I was, you know, there was, for whatever reason at that time, it was a calming influence. You were able to focus a bit.
Yeah, and then I ended up having to go to Fergus.
Eventually.
And that was a whole shit show of
eating. I think it was 5 days.
5 days in labor.
That's tough.
That was a long time. And then they were like, this could take another few days or even weeks. And I was like,
nope.
Pardon?
Yeah.
What are you saying? Like, because I enjoyed being pregnant. That was fine. It was the moment when I started getting contractions and they were active all night. And then it was like morning would hit and then they would stop.
Right.
And then when I was in labor, I was so friggin' hungry. I was just eating rotisserie chicken and Uncle Ben's rice and buns. And I ate probably three of them. Like, I had family coming by and, like, dropping me off, like, whole chickens. And I remember Tanya being like, I've never seen a pregnant woman in labor eat so much food before. Because usually they're, like, puking. But I wasn't at that point yet. My body was still doing its thing. And I was just not into it. I couldn't do it.
Was the second birth different or easier?
The second one was so much easier because it was a planned C-section. I stuck my heels in the ground because they wanted to take him like a week or two early. And I was like, he's due on the 24th and you're going to take him on the 24th. You're not taking him a day early, which is good because I don't know if it was good, but I had my own fears because I was worried that like they were going to take him too early and that my due dates were going to be off. And he was going to be like this like alien looking baby that was like not ready to like come. And then when he came out, he was 10 pounds, 8 ounces.
Yeah.
He was really big. And Mason was 8'10". So, and they took him out of the same size scar. Like, at 4 weeks old, he was like 20 pounds, like 19 pounds. Like, he came out, he was like a small turkey.
Yeah. That would have been difficult. That would have been really hard.
It was really hard because I just felt, it felt like my idea, like everyone always said, like, you need to have a birth plan. And I never really had a birth plan because I'm a control freak.
Yeah.
And if I have a plan and it doesn't go the way I want it to, then I freak out.
Yep.
So my only plan was to get him out. I want him out.
At the end of the day.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
He just needs to be out and healthy. And that was all I had to get my head around that. Like, I had the idea of having, like, a water birth and a home birth and stuff like that. But
You hadn't planned for a water birth, did you?
Buy anything. Like, I told Tom, I said to him, I said, you know, if it comes down to it and I have to birth him in our, like, bathtub, then I will. but I was hoping that like I could just be in the bathtub.
That would be difficult though.
Probably, but like I wasn't.
You really do need the space to be able to.
I really wasn't thinking about it.
Yeah, I suppose.
Right? Like at that point, we were not like, let's just, like, we were, he was not a planned pregnancy.
Right.
And we did not have a ton of money. And we were just kind of like going with it. And I just knew that I didn't want to go to the hospital and have it be rushed. And so instead, I decided to just stay at home. And it was just like, I felt like it was like a joke to me, like, ha, 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 you didn't want it to be rushed. Okay, we're going to delay it for 5 days.
Right.
And they gave me a shot in my butt. It did not work. And then I ate some space chocolate and went to Fergus, and I do not remember my trip.
Yeah, right.
I do not.
Sorry, remember. Is that me? Yeah. That might have been me, that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was an experience. When I left the hospital in Fergus, I walked out of the room. And I literally felt like I had no idea where I was going. Like, when I walked out, I was like, I don't even remember coming in to the hospital and going to the room.
Yeah.
So when I walked out, I was like, how do I even get out of the hospital? Like, I couldn't even tell you which direction.
That's gonna throw you out.
So, yeah. So when I left the hospital in Fergus, they gave me morphine to, like, deal with my pain. Because I had, like, I had to have a C-section. Because I was still not doing, my body was doing nothing. And so they stapled me back up. They didn't like make it fancy.
Yeah, you weren't happy with the staples at all.
Oh, I was not happy at all. It was like medieval. Like,
yeah, it was, yeah, like, yeah. It feels, definitely feels that way.
I was like, it was 2016. Why are you stapling me? But I think it was just like, it was Fergus. It was like a little hospital, right?
Yeah.
And then when I then didn't have my period or do anything for 10 months. And then I got my period back in July. And then I got pregnant in August. And then we had my second, like, 18 months later.
Which I wasn't there for that one.
No, no. It was, like, because May is, like, kind of the beginning of your guys' painting. Like,
my mic is doing some strange things again. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You'll have to excuse it.
Yeah. I'm gonna just talk nicely to it.
Hi.
Just like, hello, Mike.
Is your name Mike?
It's kind of lovely when you talk to me like that. It's all of a sudden just receive starts cooperating. Yeah. But yeah, when I had my second, they were gonna give me like oxys or something when I left, because like my C-section with my second was like amazing. I left there and I just had like a scar. I didn't have like a big, it looked like my incision from my first was just like irritated,
right.
And I asked them for some morphine, and the nurse, the one nurse that I had, she blatantly just lied to my face, because I think I asked her, I said, like, I don't really want to take oxys because like oxys make me sick. Percocets make me sick. And morphine is like a lesser dose. Like, and I was able to take it with my first. So it, like, it was fine. And I told them, I said, like, I just need 5. Like, I don't need a ton. I just need it for if it's a bad day. Cause now I'm going home to a toddler and a baby, and Tom had like 3 days off, and that was it. And so she apparently went and told the doctor, or asked the doctor. The doctor apparently said no. And so then, as they were getting ready to have me leave, I had a nurse come in to like do my check and ask me, like, have you had any like pain meds or whatever? I said, well, yeah, I asked for morphine. And so, and I told her what happened. And so she went and asked the doctor, who was the same doctor that was on, and the nurse never asked the doctor about what I asked her. And I literally think that she thought I was just like hunting for.
They sometimes they push things through a little bit. They just, you know, I mean, because they've got a process, and sometimes that process is a little bit, it doesn't necessarily feel human.
Yeah.
Especially like, when you're giving birth, I mean, that's like the most human thing you can do.
Yeah.
And having an understanding medical system would be really good.
Yeah, she just was a bitch, to be honest. Now, just thinking, you weren't at that birth, but Tanya came to the hospital and she brought me ice cream.
Good on her.
I wanted ice cream. I wanted like dairy-free cookies and cream ice cream.
She was like, what do you need?
And she brought me like a little tub, and I just fucking, I just like ate that bitch. I was like,
yeah.
It was so good. And I brought my tablet and I watched like the entire one season of like Shark Tank.
Okay.
I did. I had it set up and I just watched all those shows because they were just so easy and I could fall asleep.
I just finished Outlander. Have you seen Outlander?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my Lord.
We watched Yellowstone. Yellowstone's really good.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's really good. Yeah, and it's the new season's coming out in, like, June or July.
Yeah, there's some cool things to watch.
Yeah. So that's kind of how we got, like, very close. And then now with COVID, we're kind of back to hanging out again. Because you got, again, we didn't really interact much. You had cancer, which was like,
that's right.
I didn't know about it because you guys were like very hush hush. I thought I pissed you guys off because you guys just like wouldn't return my phone calls. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with these people? Like, why aren't they talking to me?
It was a hardcore thing.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, but I had no idea. So I was like making it about me as I do all the time. And it was nothing about me. It was about you. But I was like, they don't like me anymore. I remember telling them, I was like, I think they're mad at me. Like, I don't know if they like, I don't know what the hell's wrong. Like, what did I do? Nothing, you fucking self-centered person. It's not about you. Yeah. It was because you were sick.
Yeah.
So then now, like, you're better, which is good.
Yep.
Do you want to tell them what?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was tough. I had symptoms and I was ignoring them. And in this case, I was lucky because when I think about it now, I felt like I had ignored them for long enough that the time probably should, I guess maybe it was slow.
Yeah.
It wasn't aggressive, it was slow. So when they did diagnose, it was, at initially they thought it was third, stage three, because the lymph nodes in that area had swollen, so they had thought that it might have passed on to that.
Oh, okay.
And so what they did when they did the operation, they removed the tumor and then the lymph nodes, and all the lymph nodes were clear.
Okay.
So it was brought back to stage two, which I'm happy about.
Yeah, no, but, no doubt.
But it's a scary thing.
Maybe something
like a soldier might understand it, or somebody that's sort of. You
well,
know,
when you hear
that's
the look, word cancer, you immediately think I'm going to die.
And I thought that.
Death.
And like when I was telling you the story before, mm-hmm. you know, it was like I had gotten sort of worked up about it. And, I just thought, wait a minute, you know, I'm not bloody dead yet.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't know anything about it. I don't know what the story is with, you know, cancer itself. And, how they, because there's so many different varieties,
so many.
And the, rare ones, there's some aggressive ones, there's some not so aggressive ones, there's one, you know, I was lucky. And since then I have looked at women who get breast cancer, because that starts to deal with, you know, hormones and endocrines, and it passes from, you know, if it starts in the breast, it can go anywhere. I was particularly lucky that they sort of removed it, and I have had no, the cell count is not
good,
is not bad at all, you know, all that sort of thing. So it was scary. You know, you look around, you know, like I have a daughter and I don't want to leave her.
Yeah. I think that's my biggest fear. Like I think for me, my biggest fear is having like ovarian cancer, because that's like,
people have to check themselves.
You can't really check yourself for ovarian cancer.
No, but you know, like when you get to a particular ages, and they sort of say 40 years old, men should have, you know, things like colonoscopies, and you should do it. Like, you know, put your pride in the backseat of your pocket.
I've been trying to get my husband to, and he's just like,
he's
a smoker and he's a drinker. And I was like, you run on, you're smoking and you're drinking and you're bad jokes. Like, you need to, like, he eats. So, funny story. Gonna totally sidestep to this. So, funny story. He's like, he has lost weight because he's working three different shifts.
Right.
So, we were hanging out in the basement and we had like a weed gummy.
Okay.
And we were watching a Superstore. And so I made supper, ate it. And then he brought me down a second supper. I ate that.
Because you were all hungry.
And then I had a salad and I ate that. And then he came downstairs with his food. And I'm sitting there and I'm like trying to like steal some of his food. And he's like, you're wondering why I have a six pack at 43.
There you go.
Because you're fucking
slow.
You're slowly starving me. And I'm like, that's maybe why you don't eat with us or anything, because I'm like a vulture. I'm like, oh, what's that? Like, fucking food? Don't, like, I will eat it. I will eat it all. Yeah. Just terrible. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that with you. That just happened a couple nights ago. And he's like, can I enjoy my meal? I'm like, no.
No.
And he had to just like give he go, here, you just eat this then.
Because, you just do like in the Blues Brothers, you just open your mouth and he just throw
it. Yeah, just throw it. You're fucking eat it. Well, it's because he had like kale salad, and I got like, I love kale salad. I love Brussels sprouts. Like, I just love like the roughness of it. Like, it just like, they taste so good and they don't wilt. Right. So if you make like a normal salad, they get all like gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's my fave.
Yum.
So. Yeah, that is basically like all I have to say about that. I want to talk about the conversation we were discussing when I came here and we were talking about like Bigfoot and stuff.
Oh yeah, that's right. I you're going to educate me because I have no idea. I've heard stories like, you know, from indigenous sort of groups and things like that, but I know very, like, all my indigenous experience is really from the Southwest, a lot of Navajos and Apaches and Hopis and things like that, but up here, different world, different sort of people.
We'll definitely make a whole podcast on that, but like, I'm so interested because you're from Australia, and I just want to like,
we don't
know what the stories are there.
There's no Bigfoot. Oh my God, this word, bunyip.
A what?
A bunyip.
Oh.
Yep, it's an Australian creature. Well, it's a mythical creature that is in stories from, you know, indigenous people.
Okay, so it's called the Yowie.
There's a Yowie.
That's called, but that is the Australian Bigfoot, okay?
Is it?
It is,
Oh my God. I didn't know that. There's actually an Australian bit. Where do they live? What area is that? I don't know anything.
I don't know. It just says me. Australia's most baffling zoology mystery. And it talks about how, like, you know, they're ape-like creatures that lurked in the rugged mountains and deep in the forests and the islands.
I've heard of a Yowie. I didn't know it was Australia's Bigfoot.
It is. So, like, here you go, Mr. I'm from Australia and don't know anything.
I thought the equivalent was a bunyip.
No, are you?
Which, oh, bunyips? You, bunyips live you, by what do you call them? Billabongs.
That's just, you know what? That just sounds like a bong that you smoke out of.
Yeah. Well, that's what we used to call them when we were in Australia. Do you want a billy? This is Billy Bong. Oh,
God.
This is Billy. Like, I'd go to a mate's place and they'd introduce me to their bong. Here, this is Billy.
Oh my God.
Billy Bong, get it?
Yeah. Oh my God. Anyway. But didn't we have a clothing thing called Billabong?
There is a Billabong.
Is it still a thing or is it gone?
I don't know. Am I a surfer? Do I look like a surfer? Look at the. I'm not a surfer.
Okay, well, but you're from Australia. You could have been.
Yes, I think there is still a Billabong, but I'm not 100% sure.
Really? I want to go to Australia so bad, but then I think that there's things there that are going to kill me.
Anyway. No.
Like your Yowie.
No. I like in my time as an Australian. I've only ever seen a redback in the city.
Yeah. Do you want to go back to Australia?
I'd love to.
Just expensive?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And you have like a family
right now
of four.
It's super. Like, I could go back now, but you have to stay in the quarantine hotels.
Yeah.
And they're actually having a lot of trouble with those right now.
They are. Like, because New Zealand's back in lockdown. One family had all tested positive and the entire place locked down.
Yeah.
One family. And then there's like, what, the States, there's like 900,000 people. They're like, everything is open.
I stopped counting by the time Trump left office. I can't even. It's just ridiculous. The thing is that I understand how Victoria in Australia and New Zealand are doing things. They go down to zero cases, so there's no community transmission. But you're not going to not have infections, but you'd leave it to the fact that somebody comes in from overseas, so you can manage it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, look at...
they're going into lockdown for 3 bloody days.
Yeah.
We're still in lockdown.
Yeah, I know
that. We haven't stopped lockdown since last year.
No, really. We just keep going in and out. It's like,
yeah.
It's like, we can't decide what we want to do. And I think that's the most frustrating part. Like, we see so many people are having issues with being locked down. I feel like I've been pretty good because I feel like I've been locked down for 4 years with my kids. I haven't had a life, so I'm like, oh.
If you're always that kind of character that was able to sort of, you know,
adapt
and make good with what you've got.
Yeah,
you know, like that's you've been up there. But there's some people out there that they're not doing well.
No,
like it's a worldwide frustration. There's a lot of people who are suffering.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that chose to live their lives in a way that they never had to just sit still and be left with themselves.
Yeah, I mean, right? we have a lot of distractions.
Yeah, and so I think that we have been able to really distract ourselves with, oh, I'm going to go to work, and then I'm going to go to the gym, and then I'm going to go out for dinner, and then I'm going to go do all of these things. And then now it's like, oh, the whole world shut down, and you're like,
everything's quiet.
So now I work at home, and I don't leave, and I don't see anybody, and I can't go do the gym. And it's like people are just stuck with themselves. And I feel like talking to a lot of people that seems to be the biggest issue, is that it's like they're stuck with what's going on in their head, and they can't turn it off, because you normally would be like, oh, I'm going to go over and do this and do that and just like leave what's going on and not focus on it.
It's just a distraction of your what's the word, I guess, self-dialogue and you know, the fact that, you know, people's brains don't follow an organized pattern. You know, it's like you have thoughts and they drift off and you think all sorts of certain things, and then, you know, you can run from that. You can watch a TV show, you can go to work, you can go to the gym, you can do all these things, you can be social, and, you know, and that's good, that's healthy. But, you know, after a while, you sit there for too long, the same people, like, you can be stuck in a house with your family, and like, they can get really annoying after a while.
Well, how have you guys been dealing with it?
We have, our household is a little bit different from what I gather. And we're a creative bunch.
Yeah.
Tanya's creative. She has, like, she can think of ideas on the minute.
Yeah.
And, you know, kids are easy. They're like, you know, they kind of do, they get happy with whatever they do.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's what we were talking about me and my husband were discussing about how we have the kids that are in like the sweet spot because they really have, like, they're used to being at home with me all the time. They weren't in school. They only saw their friends or the people that we would hang out with, which that they had kids and that would be their friends. And so they really haven't noticed a huge change in things.
Yeah.
But people with kids in school is like, that's kind of hitting them hard. And I think as the older that they're getting, it's becoming more and more difficult for them. And that's like, I would love to try and get speak to a few high school students or something of that nature, just to like see how they are doing, because like there's a lot of parents that are on that listen to this.
Yep.
And it's like, I can tell you, like, I have mastered the word of fuck, because like, I say fuck off way more now than what I used to be, because it's just like out of just pure frustration, right? Like normally on a bad day, I'd be like, all right, we're gonna go and we're gonna go to IKEA and walk around, right? And now
you can
it's
go
like,
to IKEA and walk around just for the fuck of walking around IKEA.
But now you can't.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just like, just a change of, okay, we're gonna go there and then we're gonna have lunch there, and then when I drive back, one of you will nap, and then it'll it's a good day. That's like an outing, or going to the African Lion Safari.
Yeah.
Normally we would go and we would walk around and go do stuff. And this past summer, like, I had to drive through and there was no getting out of the car, no playing in like the water. And so it's just like trying to figure out ways to keep everybody kind of having like a normal experience without completely losing your fucking mind has been a challenge. And I can only imagine being like a young kid that has like, you know, dealing with their hormones and their own, like, I remember being 14, 15, 16 and being like depressed just because my hormones were raging. And now I'm mad because I can't go see my friends and I can't, like, I can only imagine how they're even feeling.
I think it's funny because, you know, how many times have I sort of, you know, you look at kids who are, you know, they come home and they're on their computers and they're playing games, and now they're kind of built for a pandemic because that's all they're left with.
Yeah, but haven't you noticed the majority of them, they aren't, they like, they want to have their friends and hang out with them. But then when you see a group of them, they're all standing there with their
yeah, but faces they're still together phone. Though. Like
the, yeah, like it's about, just I don't you know? I don't get it. Like
I think it sometimes it's like
the art of communicating is going to be lost.
It has lost a little bit.
Yeah,
you know when the, I think when they did things like take away cursive writing from schools.
Oh my God, yes, I we're gonna have an entire generation that can't read.
Yes, it's just. It's like it's just those fine details that they go, oh, that's not important anymore. But
it is.
It's not about whether you actually use cursive writing to write, you know, a medieval book. That's not the point. The point is that it's another skill that you learn.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a sad thing.
It is. It sucks. The whole thing sucks, and I think the most fresh, like, having my parents, like, having, like, that has been a whole other thing because they want to go golfing and they want to do that. And it's like, they're, like, it's like the whole roles have been reversed where you're like, no, mom and dad, you can't go out. And they're like, I want to go. That's
a good thing about art.
Yeah. That they, like, it's just like, Jesus, like, I've been diving into podcasts, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been creative. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been trying to find ways to still. I can do this, and that's why I was like, I need a host that's going to be on here with me because I just sitting here talking to myself, I feel like
there's something wrong with me.
Right? I'm just sitting here having conversations. Like I can just make up names for my alter egos. Right. So
there we go. So I'm trying to make this microphone do what I want it to do.
I think we need to get you a new microphone.
Yeah. I'm not sure what's going on with that. It was working fine before.
It's just great. It's just because you stopped being talking nice to me.
Is that what it is?
It's like, hello.
Oh, you want me to get closer?
You want me to get really close. Hi. We can have a whole podcast. We're just like.
You're just me talking.
Speaking very softly to each other.
Maybe just make use of the microphone. Hey, I can put an echo on this thing too as well. So
we don't need an echo.
No echoes?
No, I'm kidding.
You feel like you're standing, if you close your eyes and you're standing on top of a mountain.
Oh my God. Yeah. All right. Well, Arthur, I think we're going to end this amazing adventure and we will be back
in
a few days and do another one.
And see what happens.
We're just going to talk because we can tell all the different stories.
Totally.
Yeah, we're gonna get Tanya on. I think you need.
I think you guys need to go on about.
No, it's
Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
We'll set up another microphone. We'll have Tanya.
Yeah.
On
this. Yeah. We'll talk all about it because she has some pretty crazy experiences.
Cool.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody.
No worries. Okay. See you next time.
Bye.